morning to you guys. This has been something, this 9 a.m. service, it's long in coming. And if our test services this past fall, the couple that we did, are any indication, on a variety of levels, this is going to be good for our community immediately here as a local church and the broader communities that we're in as well. Some of you may be here for the first time and have thought, wait a minute, I saw 9 a.m. on the sign outside. I figured that's always the way it's been. Well, no, that's not true. You're actually here on a unique Sunday. This is the first Sunday we're officially gathering here at this morning service time. And we were kind of weird in that we met at 5 p.m. for the last 3 years. So it's actually, in light of what we're going to be talking about today and some of what you're going to hear, it's worth actually going into the backstory as why, to help you get to know who we are at Terra, especially if you're newer. Terra Nova as a church is about is 10 years old. We actually celebrated last Sunday our 10-year anniversary. Some of you joined us for that joint worship down in Troy and celebrated what God has done in this community over the past 10 years. 3 years ago, Troy sent out a church plant up here in Saratoga Springs, this location. And as a part of what made that possible, we met at 5 p.m. We met in the evenings. And we kind of had the best of both worlds. It enabled us to move more toward a place where we were able to enjoy community and be on mission on a local level. And yet at the same time, we were given a real boost from being able to benefit from the resources that at that time, 7-year-old church plant was able to offer. So there was overlap in resources in terms of pastoral, preaching, communication, some of the branding, and just our website and all of that we could never have done on our own from the start without the help of Troy, really helped to give us a boost at that point in time. We talked about our church being one church but in multiple locations, but from the beginning of Terra Nova, the vision has always been that the healthiest place for a local church to be is autonomous enough so that it can grow and be sustained on its own, even if it still remains interdependent with other churches that are a part of a network. And so that's the direction that Terra Nova is moving. Saratoga is now moving toward a place of greater autonomy while still a part of this bigger thing called Terra Nova Church and a part of that network where we still get to benefit from some of the things that are the camaraderie and just the community that go along with being a part of a regional church. As a part of that, the 9 a.m. created this impetus for us to really figure out, okay, well, how do we grow locally here in Saratoga Springs with our staff? And with Pastor Ed having served as the lead pastor overseeing vision and a lot of the preaching or delegating that to others over the past 3 years, as we move towards more autonomy, the obvious place was a lead pastor role. And so that's where Pastor Scott Fisher and his family come in. You're going to hear more of their story today and even from Ed a little bit later on. But I'm going to actually invite them to come on up right now. And in a moment, I'm going to ask them some questions just to help you guys get to know them a little bit better. While they're coming up, there's one other thing that I wanted to speak to you guys about. And that is a common question we've gotten is, what does it look like for me moving forward? What does Pastor Daniel's role look like moving forward? Well, really, what it's looked like in the past as a location pastor is pretty seamless in its transition to what it's going to look like in the future. From the beginning, I was always in a supportive role, overseeing discipleship, tribes and counseling, as well as Sunday operations and volunteers here in Saratoga. And my role was more supportive to our lead pastor, Ed, even though he was overseeing both Troy and Saratoga locations. So now I'm kind of seamlessly moving into that same role where I'm going to be coming alongside of Scott and supporting him as the lead pastor, the visionary here in Saratoga Springs. And he's going to be able to go more narrow and deep in that role, being boots on the ground, lead pastor here in Saratoga. And just so you guys kind of know a little bit of my backstory, I really feel like that's who God has designed me to be at this point in time in my life. That my gifts exist in the area of discipleship and some of those administrative areas I've described, and to really come alongside a lead pastor like Scott and support him in leading our church. So that just gives you kind of a snapshot of where we've been and where we're going. And now what I want to do, guys, is just spend a few minutes with you guys, the next 15 or 20, and just ask you some basic questions that are going to help the congregation get to know you guys a little bit better. And I just want to start off, first of all, by asking, how did you guys meet each other initially? What did that look like? How'd that happen?
Well, I'll trade with you. Well, good morning. We are so glad to be here. Thank you for that question, Daniel. It's a funny story because we have a different story on how we met. We had met while I was a in my first year of Bible school up at Word of Life Bible Institute. I was finishing up my first year there, and my wife-to-be Heather showed up one day. I saw her walking across the soccer field, and I thought, who in the world is that? I've got to meet that girl. And so we went and met, and we had mutual friends who introduced us. She was up visiting a friend that was a friend of mine as well, and that's how we met. And we started corresponding on this method called letters. We would actually write on paper and send them over this. We'd actually put a sticker on an envelope and send it through this thing called the mail that would come. I know it's crazy, but we did that for a little while. And then the next year, she went to Word of Life after she graduated, and then I was down at Liberty University. She came down to Liberty University. It was her plan anyway to do that, and so to run track and things like that. And so that's how we met, and that's how we courted and dated, and eventually got married. So do you have anything to add to that?
Sounds great.
I don't know, is this on, Brian? All right, I'll just use his. That's okay. So you mentioned Liberty, and I also know some of your backstory. Word of Life is a part of both your guys' life, right, as well? And And knowing a little bit of your backstory, I know that some of that figured into your shaping of your calling into ministry. So maybe it's those factors, maybe it's some other factors. What are some of the key things that shaped your calling into vocational ministry as a pastor?
So the story there is this. I grew up in ministry. My dad was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. My great-grandfather was a pastor. So there's a long line of like church background in my life. I grew up with my parents would travel, and they would do family life conferences and churches all over. They would also sing and do concerts and churches all over. So every weekend, they would pack us up in the Clark Griswold Oldsmobile, and we would drive to a church, a lot of times up here in New England or up in Northeast and New England area. And that was my life. That was my ministry life. I was in a new church almost every weekend. And so when I was in high school, graduated from high school, I had no plans on being in ministry. I had a plan of going into business, and I wanted to go get my MBA, and I had all these dreams and ambitions to make money and do all this stuff. And my parents really convinced me. They said, hey, listen, we really want you to go get grounded in the Word of God before you launch out into your life. So can you give us this and just give us a year at Bible Institute? And so I said yes. Begrudgingly, I went. And it was at a service. It was a missions conference. And I don't know who was speaking. I don't know what was being said. But I remember the moment where I'm sitting and listening to what is being said, not really hearing the voice on the stage, but hearing something different, where God was just really digging into my life. And I took a look at all of my dreams. I took a look at all of my plans. I took a look at all the things that I wanted to do and realized every one of them terminated on me. In 100 years, I was going to be dead, and none of it was going to matter. And so right then I decided that I needed to answer what God was calling me to do, which was ministry, which was to invest in the lives of people, invest in the Word of God, and invest in teaching the Word of God and helping people see the Word of God and understand God for who He is. There is something unique that happens when people get exposed to who God is. And there is this level of horror and terror and beauty and joy all at the same time. When the light bulbs go off and people get it. And I knew right then that's what I wanted to be a part of the rest of my life. I wanted to do that, whatever that looked like. The means for how that worked, I didn't know. I didn't know if that was going to be me in the mission field somewhere in the world or me as a pastor somewhere. I didn't know at that time, but I, at that moment, committed to my life to that. And I remember writing down in my journal that night, I want to dedicate the rest of my life to helping people get it. And that was the biggest moment. I called my parents, I called my pastor, and they said, write it down. Write it down, because oftentimes you have these moments and the enemy comes later and tries to take them away, but you have that. And so that was where I felt like God really called me into ministry, and it changed the whole trajectory of my life. at that moment, I changed my work assignment because I realized, okay, I'm going to go to school in a different place and do a different thing. And so doing that meant that I didn't go with my friend to Chicago like I was supposed to one weekend, and that was the weekend I met Heather. And so, like, just, you know, line upon line, you see God, just how he set this up, is where we have this idea in our mind of what our life is supposed to look like, and he comes by and, no, he's already painted the picture, because our lives are not our own. It's his story that he's writing through us. So.
And I know a part of that fulfillment of that calling was the time that you've spent ministering at the church at Newtown Road, formerly known as Temple Baptist, over the past, what, 14 years?
Yes. So, yeah, 14 years. Yep.
Okay. And Heather, obviously during that time, you were a wife, a mother, a pastor's wife, but I know that you had other passions and ways that you were invested in ministry, and I wondered if you'd share with us some of those.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, I've been working alongside of Scott for 14 years at what was formerly known as Temple Baptist Church, the church at Newtown Road, doing all the things that you might imagine a pastor's wife might do. But in my estimation, I knew very early on that God had called me into ministry. I didn't know what that looked like when I was 16 years old, but I just knew I had surrendered myself to that. I come from a third generation of folks who are engaged in the church. Church planting, but also social justice movements of what we call justice mercy ministry. So I've been implementing in Southern Saratoga County some ways in which the church can be kind of the gospel demonstration to people in our community. With that, I have been leading the Capital Region Level 146 Task Force here in this area for 3 years. And as of 2 weeks ago, I actually came on staff of Love 146. I'm the action coordinator. So what that means is I mobilize volunteers and task forces across the U.S. to equip them to be involved in the abolition movement, specifically in child trafficking and exploitation.
That's exciting.
She's also been a part of a lot of my ministry at Newtown, just counseling and being there for a lot of marital counseling that we've done in the past. And over the years, worked in children's ministry and women's ministry and pretty much anything that you can imagine that has to happen at church, she's been a part of in some capacity.
Awesome. Well, we're excited to have the whole Fisher family here. I know your three boys are out there somewhere, too. There they are.
Can't miss them.
The last thing I wanted to ask you, Scott, is, I mean, you've been at the church at Newtown Road for a long time, and I know you love that community and have served faithfully there. And now you're coming to Terra Nova, and I was wondering if you could just share with us briefly some of what went into that calling that's brought you to this place where you're going to be lead pastor here in Saratoga.
Yeah, so interesting story is that when I was at the Liberty for my undergrad, I needed to do an internship for my degree. And so we were dating at the time. She actually, when her family lived in the Albany area, they actually attended Temple Baptist Church. And so she said, oh, you should call this guy I know. His name's Duke Herget, and I don't know if you've met Duke, but you can't miss him. He's, you know, former hippie, loves Jesus, just awesome. So I called Duke and said, hey, I need to do an internship. He said, come up. And so in the summer of 2000, I did my internship at Temple Baptist Church. And the end of that summer, that was when we were married at the end of that summer. And Duke had said at that point, he said, listen, when you're done with school, give me a call. I'd love to have you on our team. So I did. When I graduated, we called, and they called me up to start. And I really had, other than my training and my undergrad, I really didn't have a lot of experience teaching and preaching and all those things, and so I was nervous. The first time I spoke, I literally, the night before, asked God to just kill me. Just take me out. I'm going to mess this up. This is going to be horrible. And I really felt like, you know, I could do anything, but it was a hard thing. And so it was something that, the preaching and teaching was something that I was kind of really, you know, kind of holding back on. And I started throwing myself into every aspect that I could in ministry, because I knew, again, that calling of, I want to see people get it. I want to be a part of ministries that help people get it, helps people see God and experience him and experience that transformation and life change that comes through knowing him. And so I threw myself into everything that you can imagine. I was the worship pastor for a while. I was the, anything that needed to be done, I did. But over time, I really feel like there was this growing sense of passion in me to preach and teach, and that was the thing that was most impactful for people. You know, I was the executive pastor at Temple Baptist, and so I did a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. No one left the church saying, oh, wow, you're such a great organizer. Because I'm really not. I can do that job, but it's not really where my gifts lie. But those pieces of teaching and preaching, that is where I really feel like God used me to my maximum. And so that has been a growing thing for me. Over the last few years, I've had those moments. Two years ago, on an Easter Sunday, I was walking through the church. It was packed. There was tons of people. All my teams had shown up. All my leaders had been there or were there and were functioning and working. And I had nothing to do. And I walked through thinking there's got to be someone somewhere who needs to hear the gospel. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so we started a journey then. We had, over the years, Pastor Matt, who's our lead pastor now, I hired him as our youth pastor, and then we asked him to be our lead pastor at Temple Baptist, to transition from Pastor Duke to Matt. We began talking about church planning years ago, asking God, okay, is this something you have in our lives? Over and over again, God shut the door. Over and over again, God said, no, not now. And often those conversations revolved around even what was happening with Terra, because of, I had great relationships with Ed. I first met Ed right as Terra Nova was launching, and we talked about church planning. Then Phil Taylor was a part of my executive pastor roundtable, and we got to know one another. We talked about church planning. This is what we've always kind of, they've always helped me and guided me. In fact, they're part of the reason that I stayed at Temple as long as I did, to help transition them to the new leadership there. There's been this kind of like beautiful weaving of relationship over the years with Terra. I was there that night where this Extension Campus was launched at Temple Baptist. You know, at that night, I was there the first night they met here. And so I've always felt this camaraderie and this closeness and this tight-knit you know, just relationship that we have with the people of Terra Nova, specifically even here in Saratoga. So a few months ago, last year, Matt and I started talking heavily about launching me in church planning at some capacity. And when, you know, the elders at Terra heard about this, we sat down to talk about, you know, what that looked like. And so that was really the impetus for, you know, what's happening now is, you know, saying, hey, is this something that we could do here? And we had, as God does, he works in ways that are just so numerous and too many to go into here this morning, but little things that just give us such confidence that this is what we're supposed to be doing and that this is where we are supposed to be, and excitement about the future for what that looks like. And so that's, that is the journey that we've been on to get here, that God has moved in our lives and brought us to this place. And so
it's exciting to see how God's woven your stories together and then even in such a way to bring you to this place for this time of need. And we're excited to have you guys. We know that we're not able to find out everything about you in one sit-down conversation, but this is a starting point to help you guys get to know the Fishers. And what I want to do right now is actually invite Pastor Ed and Pastor Rob to come up, and we're just going to spend some time praying over you guys before we move forward in the service.
That was great, you guys. Thank you. Hey, we need to be praying. I hope we never get over the fact how God provides for us. We experience it every day, and we can move by without a gratitude or an awareness of how deep that care is. And when I hear how he's prepared someone and built a couple's life around him in ministry and then gave that family to us, my heart is moved to thank him and also encouraged to continue to pray that my eyes get open more so I can see what God is doing and that we're grateful, but that your eyes can be open more. As a congregation, we can keep following after him. So let's pray together. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your church, that we walked to Jesus seemingly by ourselves, but you brought us into the family of God, the body of Christ, the temple, the Spirit. And we thank you for bringing the Fishers to us at this congregation in Saratoga. God, we ask that you would help us to follow them well, And we pray especially, Lord, that you'd protect the family at this time of transition. Don't let the adversary have any in at this time. And where he would fight and rail, I pray and we ask for a deeper reliance on you for their family. God, we pray for a purity of heart for Scott. We pray for vision as he leads this congregation, as he leads his fellow elders here, God. We pray also, Lord, that you would never let him lose heart for life outside of the walls of the church and help him to lead us on the mission of your church to tell others about the goodness and greatness of you, that we can all know and revel in the fact that your son came to save us. Father, please bless the days ahead. We know that for you, there is nothing that isn't revealed, but as we follow an uncertain future to us, help us to do that with confidence in you. Father, again, we thank you and ask that you would help us walk together as a church in the days ahead. It's in Jesus' name that we ask this. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for coming out and being willing to serve and lead here at Terra Nova Saratoga. Appreciate it. All right, well, I'm going to put the stopwatch on because I know how limited of time we are, and I think I lost track of time back in 1987, so we'll have that on. By the way, I think that was the most interesting interview since Sean Penn and El Chapo, so I'm really glad that we could all be a part of that. Very quick timeline for us, and Daniel shared some of this, in a world that is so full of change, and maybe if I back away from monitors, that buzzing will stop. 12 years ago, a sense of call to plant churches in the Capital District that would be in the downtown areas, reaching people like us, who had not heard at one point, who needed to hear, reaching people like our neighbors, and providing those places where men, women, and children could hear about the gospel of Christ, but also experience what church could be. 8 years ago at an elder retreat, we shared with confidence and with reliance on God, Lord, we believe Saratoga is the place that we're reaching out. And the Lord managed to share, yeah, in about 5 years, that's exactly what I want you to do. So 3.5 years ago, we began meeting at Temple Baptist and their facility they graciously loaned to us. Then 3 years ago, launched here. There has been a lot of change lately. It has meant in some ways having new people. There's just 2 years ago that we hired Pastor Bill and Troy and now hiring a lead pastor here. That's a lot of change for us as a church, and it's something that we have to get used to. Growth means change. If we try to live without change, we're just preserving something that we used to like, that God had for us once. We become keepers of museums at that point. We set aside nostalgically holy relics and moments and things that we want to preserve rather than moving forward. Once we were one church with two congregations, and that was good. It allowed this congregation to be able to grow well, almost like a young person in a family home. But at some point, and a lot of you in this congregation are at that point in life, you move out. You no longer live in mom's basement yelling for meatloaf. It's time to like move out and have your own congregational life. And that's us now. It's time and the right time for Saratoga to live that established life. It means going forward at least two things. That this will be an independent, autonomous church. In every sense, that's good that you know that. Having leadership autonomously here, having mission that's serving independently here, having control and managing over all the resources that will be this church in this community. But it also means we're still part of a family of churches. That's what Terra Nova is going to be, has been, and will continue to be. It means we'll share things like resources for small groups and leadership training, retreats that we go on, and responsibility to work in the body of Christ together. I'll be continuing to pastor in Troy and serving in directional leadership, first among equals of that network. And Pastor Paul will be heading out to New England over the next 2 years to plant in the Berkshires and serving as the executive pastor of that network of churches. In some ways, it can come to the point where in all the change, it can start to feel like everything ends. Well, we just don't have any constancy. And that can be disorienting to find that God brought us someplace only to move us to the next place and the next thing. So what do we do in those times? Well, we do what we've always done. We focus on the Lord. Because as we get used to endings, some things don't end. Getting used to endings is part of life in this world. One of the first verses I memorized out of the Bible was James 4:14. What is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. We memorized it, King James. That was the church Bible of choice we were at then. We know that change is part of life, and we really don't have control over change. The sovereignty of God will slay the control freak in us, or we won't have peace with all the change that is around us. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We know that if we face all this change with a desire to control and our own hopes imposed on it, we're going to have nothing but a sickening, soul-sapping anxiety. We'll just find that our plans keep getting put off and our hopes are deferred unless they line up with the Lord. So what do we do? Do the things we've always done. Seek to follow after the living God. The Lord is unending. He is unchanging. And in his sovereign plan for his church in his world, he is unchallenged. As you move forward, Terra Nova, this is my charge for you all, to focus on that God who is unending, unchanging, and unchallenged, so that you can move forward with confidence in the midst of any change that comes your way. Revelation says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one who started everything and the one who will be there when everything in this timeline ends and continues in life in him. He's called the firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1:15 through 20 has been a core piece of our core values supporting that idea of Christocentrism. And I challenge you guys at Terra Nova, and I say guys in the Northeast, right? Please don't be offended on the gender things of that. I know my in-laws keep getting bothered that I say guy, and my mother-in-law keeps reminding us that she's not a guy. And I've told her, you don't have to remind us anymore. Once I get, after that, we start to get suspicious. But Colossians 1:15 through 20, read it, dwell on it, continue with it, live with it. Let me read this passage to you. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or on earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. And dwell deeply on that. I know that I'll be stepping away from Saratoga largely, be back to preach now and again, be back to share some piece of the network, but if I can leave you with that last charge, it's continue to dwell on that passage. Spend a lifetime doing it. Don't just read it and think, I understand the theology, I can categorize it. Press it against your life day to day and ask yourself, do I recognize what's being said in this, that I hold together in him, that he is preeminent? It means that he's the provider. In him, all things hold together. It's true when Paul wrote it. It's true today. It'll be true in your future. Everything, your life, your family, your church, will hold together in Jesus. He gives purpose. He's the one who directs the body. A body moves by the headship telling it what to do. If it doesn't, the body is broken. There are neurological problems in the body if we're not moving with the grace and decisions of that headship of Jesus, because he's the person of the story. Everything was made by him, but also for him. It's all about Jesus at the end of the day. Our stories fade. His story continues into glory, even if there's suffering in that journey, even if there's unfamiliarity in what goes on. As these verses become more and more familiar to us, there's a real danger. Familiarity can breed a numbness. We get so used to things like the slide on a sorry board. You hit the beginning of Colossians 1:15, and before you know it, you're at 20 and think, oh yeah, I've read that. I've heard that. I know those words. We need never to get over what God has revealed. It should amaze us freshly when we hear that God came to us in human form and died for us. What a thing to know in this world of unknowable things. But you can know that. And he's told us to live for him, to have a pure heart, to love him, and extend that to the world. That what we know and who we love can be known and loved by others. We're supposed to know him, love him, and serve him. Never changes. Regardless of what building we end up in, regardless of what people come and go in our life of this church, the church is always called to know him, love him, and serve him. He's the one who is also not just unending, but unchanging. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, how we long for anchors in this world. I think it's one of the reasons that we trend backwards in culture and try to take things that were from another century and bring them before us and imitate us, because we live with this idea that maybe they had more going on. Maybe they had more anchors than we did. Maybe it's true, but whatever those anchors were, they dissolved, or we wouldn't be tributing and imitating those things. But Jesus will always hold the same yesterday, the day you came to know him and were thrilled by the presence of God loving you. The same that day, today, and forever. Unchanging. That means we can rely on him because he does not move. You can be confident of the rallying point of your soul, your faith, your family, your church in Jesus the Christ. Your moods will change always. If you build it just on how you feel, man, you will be such a moving target, you won't keep up with yourself, and you won't even know the depths of why it changed. Your circumstances will constantly change. We just celebrated 10 years, and looking at some of the old photos and videos, I realized a whole lot changed. Thankfully, hairstyles and clothing changed at some period, and we were very glad for that. But here's what reliance means for us. It means rest. The more you know the sovereignty of God, it won't be what some critics say it is. They say, isn't it just a shackle if God's in charge and we're not in charge? No, it's not. His sovereignty is a place of rest. That's our Sabbath. That's the feather bed that we can fall into and rest in all the changing circumstances and all the change that we bring in ourselves, that the world brings around us. If it is his unending story that brings the church to glory, then all the versions of our life, every remix, every iteration, needs to have Jesus as central. It's the revealing of his glory in us and through us. And if that's the case, if that's God's plan and he's unchanging, you don't need to worry. He's going to accomplish that. You don't need to worry. He didn't say oops when something happens that you don't like or the timeline wasn't what you expected. You can be so confident that St. Paul uses this prophetic language to say, you already are risen with him and seated with him. That's how confident the word of God is that this unending, unchanging God will see these things come to pass. That's why he says, pray and be anxious for nothing. He has set his plan. Scriptures tell us there's no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Nothing I do that's good or foolish, nothing you do that's brilliant or a mistake can ever change that. It means a dependence on the person, and because of the character of that person, a complete dependence on his plan as well. It brings a place where we know Romans 8 can solve all the crisis of our anxiety, where it tells us we'll never be separated from the love of Jesus. And nothing will change that. Nothing's past that we surface now and again and worry about, that Jesus really didn't know and he wouldn't have picked us on his team if he knew these things. Nothing future, nothing that will ever happen. None of the powers around us, none of it. For me, it was in a library in Bible college when I really read Romans 8 and understood. I can be free to be loved by Jesus, if I really begin to understand what that scripture says, that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. That reliance, that promise, though, doesn't make everything easy. It doesn't make everything enjoyable. Remember, we're following one who faithfully submitted to the Father's plans, even to the point of death and death on a cross. One who cried out and said, if there's another way, I'd really like that way. But nevertheless, your will be done. If we rely on him, it may not always make you happy, but if we rely on him, it'll make us have joy and, more importantly, to be fruitful in him. If we really understand this God, unending, unchanging, and unchallenged in his plan, we can do what he wants. John 15, 16 says this, "You did not choose me. I chose you." That's the sovereignty of God. "And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." See, his plan was to choose you and I and then have us participate in sanctification, being more like the Son, having that fruit, in evangelism, and sharing this news with others and bearing that fruit, and that fruit wouldn't be something that changed, it would be something that lasted. That you, individually, that you as the church, plural, would bear fruit, much fruit, and lasting fruit. And so I want to send you guys out under the leadership of the elders of Paranova's Church at Saratoga, if you like, toward that end, to know him in all that he is, and to find that that's an unending path of knowing more of him revealed, to love him, and in the midst of having our hearts and eyes set on him, to know what it is to change as we love him. As we receive the love he has for us, we become different as he's revealed, and to serve him. To serve him by honoring all the one another's that he's commanded his church to live out and be. That as we say to the world, this society is different. Cities break, empires come and go, economics shift. But the way that the church will love one another, that will be the beacon of hope for you, that there is another way for human beings to live in the midst of all that's changing and all that's broken in this world, in reliance on him. One great theologian, Joe Strummer of The Clash, said, "The future is unwritten." To us, that's true. But to God, who knows the end from the beginning, he will use his pen in his hand. He'll use the body of Christ to write what he has to say to this world, to Saratoga and the Capital District. We'll know him as we find that joy in bearing fruit. So one last thing for you guys to know. Next week at the church at Newtown Road, also called the Newt, I talked to their pastor recently, Matt Eaches, and we referred to this as Tara and the Newt, and he decided that was a great indie band title. So if you'd like that, come to the Newt on next Sunday, 6 p.m., and there'll be a commissioning service where for that body, they're sending off one of theirs, a guy who they've loved as an elder who has served them well. Be aware of that and celebrate that, that the greater C Church isn't selfish, that we are really a part of each other, that they who blessed us with space and finances and encouraged people to come be a part of us are now sending even more, and we want to receive that well. Please come next Sunday, 6 p.m., to the Newt to celebrate that. We're going to continue doing one thing we can always be sure of, that we'll continue here and into heaven. We're going to continue in worship. So let me pray as the worship team comes back up. Father in heaven, we ascribe to you the greatest worth that we can know of. And Lord, we know we've only scratched the surface. We've only begun to understand both your greatness and your goodness. Father, we ask as you continue to reveal yourself to us and through us, that we would never stop turning upward to worship you, to seek the eternal throne and to sing your praises, to realize how great your love for us. And Father, as that love comes to us inwardly, we pray that you would continue to have the change you desire, that you would free us from our sin that we know too well and turn to so easily and are ensnared by so many times, that you would bring us liberty in Christ. God, and with our freedom would come the great and happy responsibility of reorienting our lives to serve your Son. Would you please bless this church with your desire, Lord? Fruit. Much fruit and lasting fruit to the unending glory of Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world, in whose name we pray now.